Thanks, Big G. Tarbs, you can put your cell phone under your pillow.
However, if you get that tumor,
however,
take down Big G's phone number.
However, if you start to experience incredible headache, maybe Big G's gone.
To Big G.
Tarbi, if you start to get headaches, then reconsider.
I once got a phone number phoning me that was just 111. That was the number. And it wasn't Vodacom call center.
Did you pick up the phone?
I was too scared. I thought, what if it's gone? And he says, I'm coming to fetch you in 5 minutes.
Pack your bags. You can take your pictures with you.
I missed the call.
Good morning, Bev.
Good morning, ma'am.
How are you, darling?
Very good. How are you?
Excellent. So good to have you in the studio.
Thank you so much. Let's get on
with it. Everyone wants to have you look at their numbers. Of course, what you do is you take the birth date of a person, you look at the numbers, you tell them a little bit more about themselves. And the most important thing is giving them ideas on how they can reach their full potential. And it's work, and it takes effort, and it's ongoing. And that's why it's so great that you come here every Friday, because sometimes it just starts off as a concept and people hear the concept and then maybe a week later it means something and more and more and more and more. So it's wonderful. We're all gaining tremendously from you being with us.
Thank you. So we have a bit like Jack and the Beanstalk, isn't it?
Is it like Jack and the Beanstalk?
Well, you plant something, you have no idea what the potential is.
That's so true. It's very, very true. Do we have a caller? We do have a caller. Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'd just like to ask Bev about my husband's birth date.
Yes, please go ahead. Sorry, who's on the line?
Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Michelle, won't you go ahead with your husband's birth date?
9/9/59.
Okay.
And his name is Michael.
Is there anything specific you want to look at?
More work related for the future, work opportunities, etc.
Okay. Thanks, Michelle.
Michelle, are you going to listen on the radio?
I will.
Fantastic. Michelle, have a wonderful day. Okay. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
I clearly got my crystal ball back. Michelle believes in me.
Well, maybe it's more from a point of view.
Or can you lend me yours?
He's stuck. Maybe he's stuck.
I think most people who are not following what their potential is and their dreams are going to feel stuck at some point. Mm. That life enthusiasm, the universe juice that we can wake up with, feeling imbibed with in the morning, only comes where you're doing what inspires you. Mm. When you're doing what you have to do, you might get up occasionally with a feeling of gratitude that you have the opportunity to do that thing. But most times you're going to get up feeling like, oh, I have to go there. And sometimes we can look at that and say, in a country where unemployment is all over the papers and we know how desperate some families are in, what a position they're in, whether you're doing what you want to or not, but it's bringing home money to take care of your family, shouldn't you wake up every morning in a state of euphoria and grace and gratitude and
enthusiasm?
That would
be wonderful. That would be great.
And it would all be medicated. It's just not likely that that's going to happen. Mm. There are the ebbs and flows and vicissitudes of the world and of life that go through our day, every day, and it is okay to wake up sometimes feeling grateful and inspired because you have a place to go, and it's okay to wake up going, I wish I was doing something I want to. Mm. So for Michael, looking at what he's about, there's a lot of insecurity here that will have been blocking him along the way. So he's a very capable man, make no mistake, and he is very able-minded, and he loves things to be perfect and to get done and etc. He has a very particular way about him, very pedantic style. Mm-hmm. But for future, if he wants to find his potential and realize it, Michelle, the most you can encourage him to do is to pursue what he believes in without compromising what he needs to take care of. And I've heard of life coaches telling clients to just drop what they're doing, go pursue their dreams, because if that's their dream, that's what they must pursue. Honestly, there should be a law against that. Unless you can replace what you need to make on a monthly basis with that dream, it is irresponsible to go and do that. Does that mean you should never pursue your dreams? Not at all. It means you need to do it with a measure of responsibility, that you have commitments on a monthly basis and a family to take care of and outcomes to manage and the future to try and prepare for. Does that mean you should let go of your dreams? No. But you have to do it in a way that preserves you. Self-preservation is a part of living with self-esteem. It's the maturity of knowing that even though I just wish I was doing something else, I can't just drop everything now and pay no attention to it without taking ownership and responsibility for what I've committed to on a daily basis. So, Michelle, two things about your husband. One, he thrives on affirmation. He fears not being respected, and he fears being seen as a person who's not succeeded. And so you can't encourage him enough. You can't pour belief into him enough. He doesn't need your criticism. He doesn't need your denigration. He doesn't need your opinion of what he hasn't done or what he needs to do. What will help him to find the courage to act independent of the opinion, scrutiny, or potential failure of trying different things will be the amount you believe in him, encourage him, and inspire him to find his own strength without criticism. I can't encourage that enough. Wow. With his makeup, he's a man who's capable of so many things, but he has a fear of things not being perfect and a fear of not being respected and affirmed. And those two things can be crippling. Never mind immobilizing, they can be crippling. And people can hold themselves back from trying anything if the fears they have tied into the scrutiny or opinion of others, especially those close to him, for him. And he has huge potential. He has a very unbounded thinking, and he's a great ideas man. That I can promise you. Oh, we should do this, and I want to do that, and etc. But he's scared to take leaps. He's scared to take anything in case it's not enough, in case he's not enough.
There the encouragement is needed, as
you
say. That's
correct. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need criticism. Believe me, he's busy ripping himself to shreds constantly. A person who wants to be perfect will scrutinize everything they do, everything they think, everything they want to try, how they look, how they dress, etc., all the time. He doesn't need help. Believe me, whatever criticism you have of him, he's thought of it three times and said it more aggressively. So that doesn't really help. What he needs to hear is that he has reasons to believe in himself, that he is recognized for what he has achieved, for what he does do. And the unbounded ideas that he comes up with, some of them can be channeled into productivity that can serve him in the long run. And the things that he's capable of doing, he can use in a more positive way. And obviously, some of these things have to be done on the side of what we currently do. And when you replace your income consistently for months and months on the side of what you're doing, well, then you can really look at cutting back on your current day job or whatever, so that your responsibilities are not completely left and neglected in the hands of some greater power. And a lot of people say, well, someone else will provide. Well, I don't think so. Or where you pursue your dreams, you know, the money will follow. Okay, put it on a bumper sticker and then plant your feet on the ground.
That's for you, Michelle, and hope that has a lot of meaning for you. We have another Michelle on the line. Hi, good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to know if at all possible if Bev can do my birthday. It's the 28th of the 1st, 1961. And I just want to know anything general, specifically more about from now onwards.
Fantastic, Michelle. Are you going to listen on the radio?
I will do. Yes, thank
Super.
You very much.
Super. Thank you for calling,
you.
Michelle.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, one thing we know right off the bat, or at least I do, about Michelle is that she's a very clear thinker. I don't even know why she wants my opinion, to be honest, because she's a very sharp-shooting, clear thinker who has specific ideas about everything. Actually, and if she hasn't thought about it, she's very quick to think about it, sum it up, and come to a conclusion about it. So my sense now is she's probably smiling, but she can message us about that. There's a huge desire to help here, outreach, nurturing, others nurturing, saving the world, really. She's got a leadership ability and a creative style about how she likes to move and do things. And there's the underlying healing, nurturing, caring, I want to take care of others. Spirit is so evident here. So I don't know how she has manifested that in a vocation. I don't know what you have done, Michelle, but certainly all of that is there, and you probably see it very clearly in your relationships, your intimate relationships, friendships, etc., and probably even in a working environment. I don't think she could help but take care of other people. It's just so natural for her. And she has a massive outreach desire to be significantly able to help in a big scale. And for her, when she sees insecurity in others, when she sees people who feel desperate, that's even more so where she'd want to step in and say, I can help, I can help. Or what could they do? Or how could we solve it? So as far as the future goes, I don't know. I do know that the work that Michelle will have done And the areas in which she will have needed to focus is in learning how to take advice from other people. So again, I'm not too sure like why she's deferring to anything I have to say, because that unless she's done that work and she's more open now to the opinions and input of others. But there's certainly a very strong mind here and a very capable mind. And the work she will have done is to feel socially secure and socially able to tap into that very powerful innate nature that she has and the innate wisdom she has, trust it and move with it. And so there's things that you feel, Michelle, to wrap up with you briefly. There's things that you feel and there's things that you know that you don't always act on. And I'm going to encourage you to start trusting more of your intuition than you have done till now. Because certainly you're moving into a phase in your life right now where you'll be doing a lot of soul searching this year and looking for a way to reestablish how you'll move forward. So it doesn't surprise me that she's curious. You're moving to the end of a cycle and into a new cycle. And so that's in the next two or so years. And so there's plenty of reflection happening for her now. And not necessarily any need for an existential crisis, but there will be a lot of reflection about how the philosophies I've had served me. How have I managed myself? Am I doing the things that work for me in the best way? Have I connected to the best philosophies? Are those serving me? Etc. And wrapping up in over the cycle of 9 or 10 years, which we keep going through, and moving into a new cycle. And so, and that's pretty much where she might be finding herself now. And so I would draw on that and draw on the resource of your intuition and knowing how capable you are. You could pretty much set your mind to almost anything and achieve it. And I wouldn't want to be the force trying to stand in the way of Michelle getting something done. Because she's not a steamroller. You know, some people are steamrollers. They are slow, methodical, but if you're in the way, you will be crushed and they'll get through you eventually, but it's so painful. Michelle, when she sets her mind to something, is like a missile. You don't really hear it taking off and you didn't know it went through you. But when she walks away, you'd feel your legs fall off. It's a force. She's a powerful force. So I hope that you find all the inspiration you need to use that beautiful, nurturing, caring, helping facility that you have that's just so innate with you and the power to really do something that serves you in the future and others.
Wonderful.
It's Bev. Really there.
Wow. Thank you, Bev. Yeah. Let's take a break, and after that we have Celine on the line.
This is In Your Element with Nikki Sabarini on 101.9 IFM.
9 minutes to 10 o'clock morning. Fab Friday it is. We have our self-esteem engineer, Bev Malone, in the studio looking at birth dates. And we do have someone on the line. I believe it's Celine. Good morning, Celine.
Hello. How are you? To both of you.
And to you too, Celine.
Thank you. Okay.
Right. You've got a birth date to give to Bev.
I've got a birth date, 15th of the February month, the second month, 1939.
Okay. Is that it, Celine?
That's all.
Fabulous. Yes. Anything in particular you want to ask Bev?
No, just generally about the person's personality, the business-wise, etc.
Lovely, Celine. You're going to listen on the radio.
Thank you.
Thanks, Celine. Yes. Lots of love. Okay. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, Professor. Let's look at this person. 15th of February, 1939. Okay. So this person is really about getting everything right, right? Now, there's always a paradox. Remember, I say to you, if somebody's all about getting everything right, guess what will not be easy? Finishing things, because they will be scared they won't be right. So we have these people.
So if you want to be right all the time, you don't.
It's very hard to finish things then because you're scared you won't be right. And you're so filled with scrutiny about the things you're doing and the process you're following that you might not follow through and complete.
Mm. Interesting.
So if we're looking, you know, at that aspect of the person, we this is somebody who, 1939, this may very well be a man or woman. Well, we don't really know, do we? But let's just say it's a man because that's my sense. And what we have here is a gentleman who's really not that old today, right? I mean, this is somebody who's 70-something. I'm trying to do the math, but it's failing me.
I can't help you.
39, 60, 70, only 72, I think. 72, just turned 73. Yeah, let's say this is a 73-year-old gentleman. And what we have here who is a man who has been fraught by very strong opinions and very strong abilities to go forward, who may not have gone forward because in a social capacity or in a movement capacity, there's a lot of a victim belief. There's a lot of the world is against me, or why has this happened to me, or there's hard things like that, and there's the indignation of, you know, well, I won't because, and etc. But if you are somebody who has a huge bent on achievement in a perfect style, well, good luck on planet Earth, because I don't know if anyone's looked around much recently, but things aren't perfect. People aren't perfect. Cars aren't perfect. Ask BMW. You know, it happens. It happens. We make things, we aim for them to be ideal, but they don't always work out that way. But we have to allow things to finish. We have to allow things to happen and then fix them. No one gives birth to a perfect child. You give birth to a child you hope to contribute to and guide and play a role in the life of them achieving their potential. Where's the word perfect in that? And yet we'll put perfection on children, and we have that tiger mother who I'm been writing a response to for over a year now. I'm just so indignant at the absolute lack of self-esteem that played through in how she raises her children, and the inherent insecurities about perfection, and to the point of sublimating any need for a childhood or a child experience or an experience of themselves as young women. I don't know who's read that.
Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mom.
Yes. Yeah. I'm writing a response called The Response to the Tiger Mother in B-flat.
Please read it to me before you send it off. I'd love to read it.
It's going to be completed at some point when I have the time. But with a person like Celine has phoned in with, we're really looking at somebody who is capable of almost anything. But because of the fear of failure, and because of the fear of not being perfect, and because of the need to get up off, let's say it's his knees a lot of the time in his experience of himself, that he feels things are hard and it's not simple and etc. This is somebody who would struggle and do a lot of hard work to reach potential, the higher potentials. And somebody like this would have had to defer at some point in his life to other people's knowledge and other people's information and trust it and go with it, people whom he would have trusted. And if he didn't do that, then he'd be thwarted repeatedly and then blame the world for how hard it is. And so there's a vicious potential cycle here. But there's certainly that creative ability, and there's certainly that ability to do things beautifully and to maintain beautifully, and also a great ability to wear a lot of masks. This is not somebody who other people would know is as conflicted and difficult as the person is. This is a great mask wearer, but it's exhausting to wear a mask. And so it wouldn't surprise me if, even though this is a young person, this is not a person who is not worn down by life already.
Okay.
So that's my offering there. I hope it has value, Professor.
Let's look at this one, which came through early this morning, Bev. 3rd of March, 1980, and it's from Bushy.
Okay, so Bushy, if this is Bushy, so Bushy has just turned 32. And so we have this person who, if this is a woman, and funny enough, that's my sense, but again, I'm not an oracle, and I've got 50-50 options here, pretty much. But I'm going to go with woman, and Bushy has just turned 32. She is in the middle of a cycle that is all about life change. And I think all the women listening to me, or men who have women in their lives, just think about it. Women between the ages of about 27, 28 and 32, 33 often have massive life change. Get married, get divorced, have children. And you can say, oh, Bev, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's such a broad scope of age. And of course, women can be doing a lot of that. But I'm not talking about the fourth child. It was meaningless. I'm not talking about a marriage that was meaningless. There are significant energies attached to what women do in this period of time. And they're often going through a lot of personal flux. They've come through the teenagehood where they were trying to fit in. They've come into adulthood where they're getting their vocation. foundation right and starting to find their strength and they're starting to figure themselves out. And at the end of their 20s, moving into their 30s, women are starting to realize which roles they want to play, which they don't, who they resonate with, what they don't, what they resonate with inside themselves that they're committed to, that they're now changing their minds about and want to renegotiate and give themselves permission to do so, and more and more. And that's why we're finding more and more women in their 30s not married, not partnered, wanting partners and not really having easy success finding them, because they're coming into themselves so much younger and at all, where women didn't necessarily in generations before. But men aren't doing the commensurate work on the other side, unfortunately, on the whole. And this is not a generalization of everybody, on the whole. And so we're finding a lot of dichotomy between these powerful, empowered women coming into their 30s and the counterparts that they're looking to for support and match that don't necessarily know how to contain them and how to match them and how to hold these women.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so certain all of these women know how to allow themselves to be held just yet. Mm. That's something that comes later. So Bushy is power. I mean, this is a 16-valve, you know, fuel-injected rocket. That's what we have here. And whether this is a man or a woman, that is most certainly the case. This is a rocket. Just hang on and follow, really. In fact, Bushy, if you start a cult, just email me and I'll probably join it. There's just wherever Bushy's headed, it's going to be significant.
Wow.
Provided that you can act independent of the scrutiny of others or the need for their affirmation. I was chatting to my son this week, and this is something that I've only told him 1,000 times in his short, almost 11, almost 12 years of life. A good maxim for life is do no wrong intentionally, mean no harm always, and live independent of the scrutiny of others. And you're pretty much going to reach your potential. You want to hear that again?
Yeah.
I know you. I can see your face. She's going, I want to tweet this.
Hang on.
And I don't have it.
I want to write it down.
Okay, we do it again slowly.
Slowly.
Okay.
Do no harm.
Intentionally.
Yeah. Harm.
No. It's do no wrong. Do intentionally. No wrong. Mean no harm always. And live independent of the scrutiny of others.
Brilliant.
And the likelihood of you reaching your potential then is pretty solid. So Bushy, listen up, or if this is someone else, tell them. They are enough on their own. There is enough resource here. There is enough will. There is enough capacity here to finish things, risk them not being okay, and fix them afterwards. Learn from the errors. Grow from the trappings of life that hold us back. Learn how to get over the obstacles. Whether you pass, fail, try, or succeed up front is irrelevant. It's part of the development of the power that you have. And that is our responsibility in life. If we all just held that responsibility, do no wrong intentionally, mean no harm always, and live independently, therefore, of the scrutiny of others, because what could you possibly be worried about? Everybody has opinions. Everybody has strong opinions, and some are positive and some are negative. And if we live up or down to those opinions, we immediately are limiting ourselves. Because just because I think you're fantastic, Nikki, and I think you'll be a brilliant superstar, doesn't mean you're not capable of far more than I think. It's the responsibility of coaches, of mentors, of partners, of friends, of colleagues, and of ourselves to give to ourselves and to each other the inspiration to find our own greater strength, not for you to live up or down to my opinion or assessment of you.
Brilliant. Bushy, I can only imagine that resonates somewhere very deep. So thank you to all of you who sent through SMSs, and for those of you who called, please continue with those SMSs, because Bev will be with us, not next Friday. Next Friday is a public holiday.
Indeed.
Will you be here, Bev?
You'll I'm be a available to be.
Okay.
Lee's saying yes. Okay. So,
Bev will be here next Friday, which is absolutely fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful. And please continue with those SMSs. Bev, as always,
mwah. Thank
you. We love you.